Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. While you're turning there, again, let me remind you that we do have the God's Word translation on my table in the foyer area. I do have about a case of the Truth for Youth Bibles that we got out on our table. It's a Bible that we publish for young people. I encourage you to avail yourself to those Bibles. We put them into the hands of Christian young people that give them to their friends in school that don't know Jesus. And so we've of those Bibles, we've given away a little over 3 million. So when you stop by the table tonight on your way out, avail yourself to the Truth for Youth Bibles, the giant print God's Word translation Bible. Everything on my table is ammunition to hit the devil in the head with and to help you be victorious in Christ. So purchase everything I've got so we don't have to load it up and send it back. Can I hear an amen? And I know that it will be a blessing to you and your family and everybody that you get it into the hands of. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of a firm foundation. How many of you know that God wants you in 25 to have a firm spiritual foundation? Stand with me tonight in reverence to God for the reading of our text. Matthew chapter 13, I've got two texts. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to then go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot wheat, the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Let me say that again. Let both grow together until the harvest. How many of you know that God is big enough to deal with the tares that get in among the wheat? Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them to burn them. That is symbolic of judgment. But gather the wheat into my barn. That is symbolic of harvest. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Firm foundation. This is the God's Word translation. It says, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, after all, no one can lay any other foundation than the one that is already laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Again, tonight, I want to speak to you on the subject of you having a firm foundation. And when we get to the altar service tonight, I'm believing God for every need to be met that needs to be met. There are those of you here tonight that you need healing in your body. That is for you tonight. God has that for you tonight. God wants to bring you into the fullness of receiving the victory that He's already paid the price for with regard to the financial situations that you're facing right now. Many of you here right now, your children and grandchildren or grandchildren are not in right relationship with the Lord. I want you to hear me. God wants to do what needs to be done as He draws them to a place of repentance. I believe miracle signs and wonders are going to take place in your life tonight. Prepare yourself. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that our firm foundation comes only from You. So, Lord, I pray and ask You to speak to the hearts of everybody in this service tonight. And then, Lord, when we get to the altar call, after the word is preached, I declare victory in everybody's life according to Your word. For You said, Lord, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to You, God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I declare it done. I declare our foundation rock solid, firm in You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture in Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30, that last verse, it says that judgment and harvest are going to come at the same time. It says that to bind up the tares and burn them, that's judgment. And in the same verse, it says, gather the wheat into the barns, that is the harvest. You know, there's a couple of questions that people have in these last days. And one of the questions is, God, when are you going to send the last day of harvest? How many of you are ready for God to send the last day of harvest? I want to see Knoxville Christian Center filled to capacity and overflowing. Can I hear an amen? From people that don't know Jesus. I want you to be able to walk in here on a Sunday morning and smell the smell of cigarettes and marijuana and alcohol for people coming in, not from you, but from the people that come in here that are not serving the Lord. Can I hear an amen? But our heart's desire is to see our buildings, our sanctuaries filled with people getting right with God. So we ask the question, God, when are you going to send the last day of harvest? Another question that we have is this, and this bothered me for years and years, Dr. Culberson, and that is the question, God, why would you use preachers that refuse to live right to preach the Word of God and to God has always, did you know God has always done that? There have been a handful of preachers in just about every generation that you see just great and mighty things take place through their ministry, only to find out later that really they were not even living right. And so we have the question, God, why would you use a preacher that has a lot of charisma but has no character? Can I hear an amen? And I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about this, and that is, you remember in the Bible talks about that Jesus told the foolish man and the wise man to go out and build a house. And so, first of all, I want to look at the foolish man. Now, he didn't like inconvenience, didn't like struggle. And so he went out and he built this beautiful home in record time on a faulty foundation. And for those of you that know anything about building and construction, you know that the most important part in building a structure is to be sure that you have a firm foundation, that the foundation is built right. In fact, I was traveling through South Louisiana and I came upon this home that was absolutely the most beautiful house I'd ever seen in my life. And in fact, it was in South Louisiana, probably close to Houma and close to Thibodaux, around that area. And as I came upon that home, I noticed that there was a sign in the front yard of that house. I mean, from a distance, that house was so beautiful. And as I approached it, I noticed there was a sign in the yard, the front, that said, it said, faulty foundation, house condemned. You see, it didn't matter how beautiful that home was. It was empty and condemned and going to have to be torn down because the foundation was not firm. Hear me. If the foundation isn't right, the whole structure isn't going to be right. So here's this foolish man. He goes out and he builds this beautiful home on a faulty foundation, gets his electricity on, the lights are working, the water's running. He's got all of the modern conveniences that you would want to have for your comfort. And you notice that when he finished the house, the storm did not come immediately. The sun's still shining. So this foolish man, he's probably in his front screened-in porch on his hammock, sipping Tennessee tea, and he's enjoying this beautiful home that he built in record time. And he looks across the street and he sees what the Bible calls the wise man working on his home. And he doesn't even have his walls up yet. Do you know why? Because he's still working on being sure his foundation is firm. So here's this wise man. He goes out week after week after week in the different elements of the weather. During the winter, it's freezing cold, it's snowing, it's sleeting. Other parts of during the spring and during the fall, it's raining, and then the sun is beating down on his back, and the hot blistering sun. And so he's out there, he's got to be getting worn out, and he's got to be thinking to himself, is what I'm doing really necessary? Is it really important? He looks across the street and he says, here I am working so hard to have a firm foundation. And he says, and it looks as though the man across the street that built his home in record time, that everything he puts his hands to prospers. But hear me tonight. Any structure can look good as long as the sun's still shining and no rain has come. You see, you know how it is that America right now can be trillions and trillions of dollars in debt, and yet we still have looked like a prosperous nation? Because up until 9-1-1 and COVID and some other things, no real storm had come to America. You know how it is that right now, America, from the year we took the Bible out of school in 1963, America, from that point forward to the present, has become number one in the world in violent crimes, illiteracy, teenage pregnancy, illegal drugs, and the divorce rate. And yet we continue to look like a prosperous nation because no storm has come to America. You know how it is that right now America can be still murdering between 4,000 and 5,000 babies a day with abortion. You say, well, what about Roe v. Wade being overturned? Did you know that more babies are being aborted right now since Roe v. Wade than were before Roe v. Wade was put into play, was overturned? And so millions of babies that have been murdered with abortion, and yet America has still looked like a prosperous nation. It's because no real storm has come to America. And how is it that America can put their stamp of approval on a federal and state level on homosexual marriage and still look like a prosperous nation? Listen to me. The reason why God has held back the storm is not because he loves sin. It's not because he loves sin. You see, if God would have let the storm come any earlier in the story about the wise man and the foolish man, not only would the foolish man have been destroyed, but the wise man would have been destroyed too. Do you see that? So God said, I'm going to send the storm. He said, but I'm going to hold back the storm to give the righteous man time to finish building his house on a firm foundation, his home. God says, the storm is going to come. Listen to me. The storm is going to come, but God says, I'm going to hold back the storm, and when the storm does come, let the foolish man fend for himself, but God says, I'm going to hold back the storm to give the righteous man time to finish building his structure on a firm foundation. Hear me. Judgment, the Bible says, begins in the house of the Lord. Jeremiah 5:24 says, the Lord appoints the weeks of harvest. You know what that means? The time of harvest has already been appointed by God. You remember in Noah's day, God was so sick of all of the sin that he had to repent for making man. There was no harvest. You see, we all want harvest, and I do too. That is one of the main focuses of revival fires. But I believe that the church has put their focus in the wrong area, the church as a whole. We focused on harvest when in fact we should really be focusing on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it like this. More important than you winning people to Jesus is for you personally to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you really do have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then out of that relationship you will automatically win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about building your structure, building your house, your spiritual house, on a firm foundation. Can I hear an amen? The word house in the original Greek means habitation or temple. You know what the house is that you are building right now? And all of us are building a house. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have an active prayer life, and those of you that are here on a Tuesday night that are a part of a prayer and fasting conference, I would say that most likely you do have a strong prayer life. But if you don't have an active prayer life, then in that area of your foundation, you have a faulty foundation. If you're not studying God's Word on a regular basis and being fed the Word of God and studying God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you through His Word. I love the way your pastor says it. God speaks to you through His Word. If you're not allowing Him to speak to you through His Word, then in that area of your foundation, you have a faulty foundation. In your finances, if you're not tithing to the house of the Lord that you attend and giving offerings to the Lord's work in your finances, in that area, you have a faulty foundation. That area is faulty. And if you're not faithful to the house of God, then in that area, you have a faulty foundation. If you watch things on television and on the internet that you know are not lining up with the Word, that are not pleasing to God, in that area, you have a faulty foundation. And I hear people say, well, now, Brother Todd, maybe I don't read my Bible and pray like I should, and I don't attend church like I should, and I tithe when I can, but when it's not convenient, I don't for my finances. But the truth is, Brother Todd, I'm blessed. Listen, if you behave that way spiritually and you're still blessed, all that means is the sun's still shining and the storm hadn't come. I believe that God in these last days is pouring out His Spirit in a mighty, mighty way. And He wants us to line up with His Word. And here's what happened. You see, when the foolish man was prospering and the wise man was still working on his foundation, that is symbolic of a lot of what's going on. You see, in that story, it looked like the foolish man was wise and the wise man looked foolish. The foolish man is the one that put forth the extra effort, the extra time, the extra money, and it looked as though everything he put his hands to, and it looked like he was the one that was struggling, and the foolish man was the one that was prospering. We're living in a day in the American church today where that you can be considered a good Christian and breeze into church on Sunday morning and play a little church game and breeze back out, not be back in church consistently any other time, give God a tip instead of a tithe, sing songs to a God that you won't pray to, and with your lips say you love a God that you will not let Him speak to you through His Word. We're living in a day where that you can be considered a good Christian in the American church and behave any way that you want to. Do you know why that is? It starts with the leadership. Can I hear an amen? The reason why you can live like that and feel like you're a good Christian is because the truth is, Dr. Culberson, in our pulpits across America, many of them, we've got a lot of spineless jellyfish preachers that are foolish men who will not preach the uncompromised Word of the Lord because they're afraid if they do that people will leave the church and not come back. Amen. But the day came when this wise man finished his house. He hung his last roof shingle, hung his last window, hung his last door. He finished his house. Then, when he finished his house, then God said, let the storm come. And again, the reason why God did not let the storm come any earlier is because if He would have, not only would the foolish man had been wiped out, but the wise man would have been wiped out too. I draw your attention back again to Noah. God was so tired, so sick and tired of the sin in Noah's day that he had to repent for making man. Now think about that. When God has to repent for making man, you've gone a long, long way. He said, I'm tired. I'm sorry that I ever made man in the first place. He said, I'm going to destroy everything on the entire face of the earth. But then God looked down at Noah. And the Bible says, you know it, the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God said, okay. God said, I'm going to send the flood. I'm going to send judgment, but I'll just hold it back for a little while. You notice He did not dismiss judgment. He just held it back. You notice that he did not let the storm come immediately in the foolish man and the wise man story. He just held it back long enough to give the wise man time to build his house. Now here we are, rewind to Noah. God says, I'll hold the storm, I'll hold the flood back. So Noah went out week after week after week, and he is working on that ark with his family. And the lukewarm, the lethargic, apathetical, indifferent, the wicked, the people that were in that day, they would walk by and they would scoff and mock and make fun of Noah, and then they'd go their own way and live their own life. Don't you know that Noah had to feel like an idiot sometimes? I mean, he's building an ark in the middle of a desert, and it's never rained. He had to look crazy. But the day came when Noah finished the ark. Those people had never seen lightning. They had never heard thunder. They had never seen the sky black with clouds. They had never seen a storm. And Y2K had come and gone and nothing happened. 9-1-1 was a terrible thing, but then we got things back to normal. COVID was horrible, but we got things back to normal. Noah is just a crazy old man and he doesn't know what he's talking about. But guess what? God had already set the appointed time of judgment. I believe the next revival in America, it's already started, is a revival where God comes into our church bodies and removes every one of the tares. You know who the tares are, don't you? They're not sinners and they're not the saints. They're the lukewarm churchgoers, the hypocrites, the people that take up space on the pew and suck up heat, but they don't do anything to build the kingdom of God. God is going to remove the tares because how many of you know it's the righteous that are going to bring in the last day harvest? I've heard so many Christians tell me, oh, Brother Todd, I believe the worst day for the Christian is right in front of us. That is not true. The greatest day for the Christian is right in front of us. I'll show you with the foolish man and the wise man. The worst day for the wise man was when the foolish man was prospering and the wise man was still working on his foundation to make it firm. And so here's this wise man. He's working on that foundation. And here comes that foolish man who's built his house just like that. And the foolish man comes up to the wise man and he says, why are you still working on that foundation? The foolish man says, look, I finished my house quickly. And I don't have an active prayer life and God's blessing me. The foolish man says, I'm not reading my Bible and God's blessing me. The foolish man says, why are you working so hard on your foundation? Why is it that you're attending all of the prayer and fasting conference services? The foolish man says, I'm not attending those services and God's taking care of me. These were tough days for the wise man when the foolish man was prospering and the wise man was still working to make his foundation firm. But the day came when the wise man finished his house. And when the wise man finished his house, then God said, let the storm come. When the storm came, it hit that foolish man's house. And you know what it says about that? It says, great was the fall thereof. I mean, you get the picture. Here's this wise man. He knows he's built his house on a firm foundation. And he sees this wall of water coming full speed ahead, and it slams against the outside of his house. He's not scared. He's not fearful. He's not afraid because he knows he built his house on a firm foundation. And the very storm that was a damnation for the foolish man was a vindication for the wise man. It wasn't this wise man's worst day. It was his greatest day when the storm came because it let the whole world know that what he was doing by working so long and so hard on his foundation to make it firm, it was necessary. And for those of you here that are coming to the prayer and fasting conference services, and you look around and you say, you know, everybody should be here for these services. I want you to hear me. God looks down at you in these services and he says to you, he says, I'm putting another hunk of rebarb in your foundation right now. And when the storms come, your house is going to stand. You men that get up early in the morning and you pray before you go to work for your family and for a move of God in this church body, I want you to know you're putting rock in your foundation and your house is going to stand when the storm comes. You young people that live a holy and an upright and a righteous life, when all of the other young people are going to the keg beer parties, they're having sex outside of marriage, they're doing drugs, but you live for God, you're putting rock in your foundation, and when the storm comes, your house is going to stand. So here is this wise man. He builds his house on a firm foundation. And then the storm comes. You're in the process right now through the prayer and fasting conference every January. And in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, praying and fasting throughout the year. You're in the process right now in reading your Bible and allowing the Holy Spirit to be poured into you. You're in the process of building your house on a firm foundation. So Noah, he finished that house. Or he finished the ark. The water began to rise up under that ark. I want you to know that whenever Noah knew he built that ark according to the specific directions, the specifications that God gave him. Noah was not on that boat when the water came up under the boat. Noah wasn't on that boat chewing his fingernails and saying, real nervous, saying, oh, I don't know what we're going to do now. The flood's here. Oh, no. I believe Noah was on that boat, on that ark, with his hands lifted toward heaven, saying, oh, God, I'm so glad I didn't listen to the lukewarm churchgoer, to the tares, to the hypocrite. I'm so glad that I didn't listen to the unrighteous. But instead, I prayed, I fasted, I did what you told me to do, God. I was faithful to the house of God. I was faithful to serve you in my finances. I was faithful. You know, whenever God told Noah to build the ark, he said, now when you finish building the ark, I want you to go out and gather the animals. You remember the clean 7x7 and the unclean 2x2? Now you got to understand, by now Noah's a really old man. I mean, he finishes that ark, and he's not even half done yet. He's probably in the bottom of his boat making last-minute inspections. Here comes one of his sons. I can see it. I can use my practical imagination. I see one of his sons come to him and say, Dad, something really crazy is going on outside. You really need to come out here and see it yourself, so instead of me explaining it to you. Noah gets to the opening of the boat, and he sees every species of animal in a single file headed for the ark of God. Nobody's lassoed them. Nobody's enticed them with food. Nobody's tricked them. God changed the beast nature of these animals, and they are headed for the ark. And no doubt Noah said, God, you knew I was too tired after working so hard and so long on building this ark. You blessed me this day. God says, Noah, you did what I told you to do. You built the ark. Now I'm going to fill it up. Hear me tonight. The Lord is not nearly as concerned about how many people are in this house as he is concerned about what kind of a house you're building. Bow your heads, close your eyes, open your hearts. Holy Spirit, do your work, have your way, and accomplish what you want done. Lord, we want to build our spiritual house on a firm foundation. Lord, we don't want anything or anybody to keep us from our structure, our spiritual being, to be built on a firm foundation in every area spiritually, Lord God. Make us what you've called us and set us apart to be. And Lord, as Pastor has said so many times, we have to do our part. So Lord, We covenant with you to do our part for our foundation to be firm. I declare it done in Jesus' name. Look right up here. In a moment, we're going to pray for every need that needs to be met. But right now, you're going to have an opportunity to be blessed in epidemic proportion by partnering financially with the Ministry of Revival Fires to help us take the gospel to Cuba. Pastor, come.